So I guess by now you can tell, listening to the opening theme, that that this is not your typical episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Due to some unforeseen circumstances, Big Kev was unable to be here tonight, or today rather, to do the show. So I thought, well, I've got a bunch of stuff I've been meaning to talk about or catch up on or follow up on, that I could throw together a quick little solo show for you guys. First, of course, I want to remind everybody that you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can follow us on Twitter at GeekStuffOG and at BKGeekStuff for all of the show news. And of course, you can check us out at New York Comic Con coming up in, wow, just about 2 weeks at this point. Booth 3261, I believe, is our booth number. We'll talk a little bit more about the booth in a little bit. But that being said, I had a couple things I wanted to talk about this week. I have some comics, some product, graphic novel, New York Comic Con. Let's just kind of roll right into comics talk. I don't know how many of you out there have been following the new DC 52 launch. I'm assuming at least some of you are DC fans and reading some of those books. And I also assume that at least some of you are reading some of these issue zeros. And I really kind of want to know what people's opinions are on the issue zeros. I'm not entirely in love with them. To be quite honest, I haven't thought that any of them are really that good. Some of them I think have been pretty lackluster. Some of them to me seemed pointless. Batman the Dark Knight number zero. Really? Like, I don't know. It just seemed like pointless to me. Green Arrow zero, we talked about, stunk. Red Hood and the Outlaws zero, which I really wanted to like because I love that book. I mean, it's great to give us a little bit of Jason Todd backstory. It's great to give us some Red Hood backstory. It's great to see the Joker appear in a DC New 52 book full on. But I don't know. I kind of want to know more about the team. I don't want to know just about Red Hood. I'd like to know a little bit about the Outlaws. Batman was good. But to me, you know, 57 Batman books, you only need one Batman zero. You only need one zero book to explain the Batman story. You don't need five of them. I'm trying to think what other ones, what else I've read. You know, it's just, my biggest criticism of these books is that I don't see the point of the zero issues. I think that DC had the perfect opportunity to reintroduce these characters a year ago. And they used that opportunity, obviously, with the new 52. And if you really wanted to tell these origin stories, you should have done it then. You know, why wait a year? You have a new audience, you're bringing people in for the first time. Give us those backstories then. Give us issue zeros as a preview to the new launch. Even if everybody doesn't pick them up, at least some people will pick them up. To me, it just seems like backwards logic. I've never been a fan of issue zero or issue one half, you know, 10 issues in or 15 issues into a story. It just, to me, it seems kind of silly. To me, it seems like that's a story you should have told already. And you're burdening it with me now. And especially if they're not that good. I mean, to be honest with you, they're not that good. Most of them haven't been great, you know? And I think it's kind of sad because I'm a fan of a lot of these books. One that I did enjoy, Talon Zero, came out this week. I thought that was a great read. Obviously, it's a good introduction to the series. Hey, and funny, came out before issue one, you know, where Zero should be. So if you haven't checked out Talon Number Zero, you absolutely should do that. I think that's going to be a really good book. I think it's going to be an interesting character. I like the Court of the Owls miniseries. I like the idea of the Talon character. I think it's a formidable foe, and I don't think that we've seen the end of them forever. I'm sure that they will find a way to come back. And having this kind of good guy, bad guy in the form of Talon, I think is an interesting thing for DC, and you all should check it out if you haven't checked it out. Moving away from DC though, we'll talk about a Marvel book, which, you know, normally we talk about with anger and hatred on this show. And I don't normally talk too much about Marvel books because really I'm only reading one Marvel book right now. One that's been able to really hold my interest still, which is Amazing Spider-Man. Dan Slott, I think, has been doing a great job. I really enjoyed the return of the Sinister Six storyline from recent past. I did not really care for the Morbius storyline, but it was okay. You know, it was a nice Lizard Morbius storyline, but it wasn't great. The return of the Sinister Six and what's going on with Doc Ock is fantastic. And then, of course, there's the most recent storyline, the Alpha storyline. Things I like about the Alpha storyline. Ramos coming back on the book as the artist. He's one of my favorite artists. I love his work on Spider-Man. I love the feel of the characters, or the feel that he gives to the characters. He's always been one of my favorite Spider-Man artists. It's great to see him working on the book regularly. But this Alpha storyline seems very kind of, I don't know, force fed. It's okay. It's just very kind of, it's very, it feels very forced on me. Now, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who hasn't read the most recent issue. So if you haven't read it yet, maybe fast forward a couple of seconds or minutes. But there's a conclusion sort of to the Alpha storyline in this issue. And obviously it's not a full on conclusion. It's kind of a break in the story. I'm assuming leading up to some big things in the last six issues leading up to issue 700. And I think it was Dan Slott who just came out earlier this week and said that is it 697 or 698 is going to be an epically big issue, and he's urging retailers to order more copies of it because they're not going to have enough because of the stuff that's going on, blah blah blah. I hope that it is epically great. I hope that you know, I know that it involves the return of Doc Ock, which is awesome because, again, I like this Return of the Sinister Six storyline that just took place, and I think the Doc Ock character is great. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes, and I'll be interesting to see where Alpha goes from here. I really hope he doesn't get his own book. I hope this isn't like a Marvel Now thing, and he's gonna have his own storyline. You know, I hope they keep him contained within the confines of other books. You know, but it's just, I don't know. I'm not in love with the character, but I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to continue to read the book. Again, it's the only Marvel book I'm reading right now. I've always been a Spider-Man fan, so I got to support this one through thick and through thin. Well, that's not true. I haven't read it in a long time, and I got back on board. Damn Clone Saga. But anyway, so yeah. So that's the comic stuff I wanted to talk about. I know I had mentioned I had a graphic novel that I wanted to mention too. And for those of you who are longtime listeners of Big Kids Geek Stuff, for those of you who are regulars at our New York Comic Con booth, James Hatton, who does In His Likeness, which is a webcomic strip involving dots, a dot for God, a dot for the devil, a dot for the internet, et cetera, et cetera. He had a funding project to help put out a collection or a graphic novel called The Dot Witch Horror, which introduces the Cthulhu dot god into the pantheon of dots. And it's really, really good. It's a great self-contained story. You don't have to know a ton about In His Likeness to to read this. He kind of gives you a brief synopsis of the characters on the first page, and it kind of goes from there. Of course, if you're familiar with the strip, you'll appreciate this even more, but I definitely recommend checking out inhislikeness.com, the web strip, and giving it a read. It's a funny strip. I've been a fan for many, many years. And if you could still get the Dot Witch Horror trade in Jamie's store, you should. This is kind of like digest size. It's not full graphic novel size, but you know, it's full color. It's nice paper. It's good quality. It is, let's see, it is 41 pages long. And I don't know what the price is on his site. I think there might have been a different pricing for those who contributed to the campaign to get it going. But definitely, I think you could still get this. I definitely recommend it. It's got an awesome cover, which is not the traditional In His Likeness style. But it's definitely worth adding to your collection. If you're a webcomic fan, you need to check this out. If you've never checked that In His Likeness, you really, really should. It would be worth your time to read a couple of strips and get a good chuckle out of it. All right, on to some product. This is going to be Scott Tolleson's segment. Again, longtime fans of the show know that as far as designer toys go, vinyl toys go, I'm a huge Scott Tolleson fan. The Otis and Otto pieces, the Chipster pieces, Bernard the Android, the Nocelots, which we actually haven't talked about on the show, because sadly enough, I don't actually have any yet. The Uncle Arg, that came out from Toy2R, which was a 5-inch mini key. And then there was the Kickstarter campaign that Tenacious Toys did for the Arg Noir, which is like a black and white version, of the figure. That is now available. The Kickstarter campaign is over with, long over with at this point, but the product is now available. And if you go over to tenacioustoys.com, it's the only place to get this, I believe. But it is the Uncle Arg Arg Noir black and white 5-inch mini key, and it's pretty fucking awesome. If you liked the original colorway, the orange and green colorway, definitely you'll like. I think you'll probably really appreciate this, but if you didn't, if you liked the design, but maybe the colors didn't grab you, this black and white, well, it's not really black and white. It's, you know, it's black, white, gray, etc. Is awesome. It's definitely worth checking out. I don't know the exact price point on this thing, but if you go over to tenacioustoys.com, you can get these still. And I believe Benny's going to have some, at New York Comic Con as well. So if you're going to be at New York Comic Con, you definitely should grab one of these if you haven't already. Other things from Scott, that I've recently acquired. You remember on the show, we talked about the Minitendo line, that had come out from Squid Kids Inc. And we specifically talked about the, Luke Chew Emo Bear one. We had a couple of those that we gave away on the show. Well, one of the other designs, in the line is Scott's. It's a Nocelots arcade game. It's a great piece. All of these Tendo pieces are great. If you're an old school gamer, you want one of these. I mean, you want these. They're great. They're great to display. They're fun figures. If you like designer toys, they're really fun there as well. And I recommend picking them up. The only other one that I really desperately need, although I do want the entire line, but the one I desperately need still is Pack Gentleman, which is the Doc A piece. And it's kind of like a steampunky Pac-Man looking game. Definitely check these out from Squid Kids Inc. These are blind boxed. However, if you're looking for just specific ones, you can get them on eBay. Some are pretty costly. The thing that's prevented me from getting the Doc A piece is that, it's going for like $25 or $30 on eBay right now. And that's really just a bit too much. But if I can get it, at a lower price, or if I get lucky enough to pull one, that's one I definitely want. The other thing that I have, from Scott, I actually, I ordered the AP of Scott's Tendo, And I picked up a couple other things at the same time. Wrong Gear is a company that puts out, like, I think they're snowboarding and skiing masks, but they also have like artist-related products. And a couple of the things that they have are Artist Series wallets. And I went to the Wrong Gear website today to check, and I don't actually see the Scott Tolleson ones up there anymore. I don't know if that's because they're sold out at Wrong Gear, but there are a couple other spots online that you can get them. Scott's got two of these wallets in the line. Both of them are awesome. They feature some great artwork from Scott. And I'm gonna say different than what you're used to, if you only think of Scott as the Argyle Warrior guy. Although the Snow Bunny wallet one, she does have some Argyle in her outfit. The other one does not really have any Argyle in it at all, I don't think. It just, except in the Scott's logo. But definitely check these out. They're nice canvas wallets. The print quality on them is pretty nice. They're buttons. Oh no, actually, they're not buttons. That's really bizarre. They have buttons, but they don't button close. And they have Velcro. Do they Velcro close? Oh, they do Velcro close. That's really weird. They have buttons on the inside, but there's no way to button them close. But there's Velcro on the other side of the button. That's just bizarro world. They feature a zipper, and then they feature, for the inside for your cash, they feature a window pocket for your license or ID, and then there's another Velcro pocket for like change, etc. But yeah, it's a nice fun wallet. I'll probably be using one of these at least for New York Comic Con, just because I can and it's fun, and I like Scott's stuff. So check these out. Again, I don't think you can get them at the Wrong Gear site anymore. You might be able to get them at Scott's site, but if you just do a Google search for these, they will pop up. They're probably on eBay as well, so I would recommend checking those out. And then the final thing that I wanted to talk about tonight, which is like a customer service experience slash awesome product, and again related to Scott. Scott had a show based on the No Slots characters at Screaming Sky Gallery, and one of the pieces in the show, unfortunately, I'm not overly loaded, so I couldn't really get any of the real exclusives that I or customs that I wanted. I really wanted J. Rue's piece. It was awesome. But Nathan Hamill did an Argnite print, and it's Nathan Hamill's art featuring Scott's characters, and it's a great print. It was really awesome. I think they were going for like 40 or 45 bucks a piece. Comes on nice quality. It's a good size. But I just have to say, that if you ever have the opportunity to order something from a show from Screaming Sky Gallery or just from their website, they do have a store and you can get something from their website. They could have quite possibly the best, nicest customer service I've ever encountered. They were really, really informative the entire process from the point that I placed the order all the way through the shipping, making sure the order arrived safely, making sure that, I had, if I wanted extra insurance on it, how I wanted it shipped. It was amazing for one $40 print. I had to have more communication with them than I have with anybody else I've ever ordered from. It was really quite impressive. So I highly recommend checking out their shows. They have some great artists coming through there. They do some great shows. They have some awesome stuff in their store. And again, great customer service. So if you order something from them, you can really be comfortable in knowing that you're gonna have a good experience. I mean, at least based on my experience. So I think that's it. I think I covered pretty much everything I wanted to cover again. Oh no, New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con is coming up October, was it 7th, 8th, 10th, 11th, 12th, something like that. It's coming up in a couple weeks. And we have booth 3261. And it's the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. And we have some awesome things going on at the booth this year. Longtime fans of the booth at Comic-Con now know, or at least for the past 3 or 4 years, that we've had Eric from Argonaut Resins at the booth. Eric's going to be there again this year. He's going to have some new mini tots as well as some other things going on. Selena from the Jelly Empire is going to be there. And she's got some awesome new Jellybot pieces coming out. Some things I don't think I could probably talk about just yet. She does have the very first Jelly Empire comic book. I think it's Super Jelly is coming out too, debuting at New York Comic Con. And she just released a time-lapse video on her blog. And I'll see if I can post a link to that in the show notes. But the comic looks really fun. And if you're a fan of the Jelly Empire, you're a fan of Selena's work, it's definitely something you're going to want to check out. So you can, you'll be able to grab that as well over at our booth during New York Comic Con. I know she has some other things. I just don't think it's all been announced yet. So I've got to keep it mum. Of course, we have two other guests. One, I don't think I can fully announce yet because I don't have confirmation that we're moving forward, but, I think we're going to have an awesome custom at the booth, for fans of the Glio system, but that's not confirmed yet. And then of course, Rich Page is going to be at the booth and he's got some great stuff. He's got the DDs, which we've talked about before, and they were in a blog post on the site. I think those are limited to 6 pieces. Those are going to be at the booth. I don't know if they're going to be there Thursday, but they're definitely going to be there starting Friday. He's got an awesome Star Wars print that he's going to have at the booth. He also has, if you're familiar with his Soundwave, Iron Man, and most recently Venom pieces that he does, his stylized take on those characters, he's going to have that Venom piece available for sale at our booth at New York Comic Con. So you're definitely going to want to check that out. And he's going to have some of his other prints from last year, some Martin Longbottoms, some skull keychains like we talked about last week. I think one or two exclusive Scullies or Skullheads as well. So that is all going to be awesome. And then new to the booth this year, as far as guests and product, George and Aline from October Toys are going to be spending some time at the booth. I don't know exactly when yet. I'm working on the schedule now. But even when they're not at the booth, the Big Kev's Geek Stuff booth 3261 is going to be one of two places you're going to be able to get the New York Comic Con exclusive OMFG Series 1 stealth figures. I don't know the price point on these yet, although I think it's probably going to be similar to the other sets, probably similar to maybe the purple set or the color change set from San Diego. But they talked about it on the latest Toy Break, but they didn't really say what they are. So I don't want to spoil it because I don't know if I'm supposed to yet. Just know that they're called Stealth and know that they're awesome. And hopefully we'll have more information on that next week. And I think that's it for right now. I'm going to let you guys go. Again, I apologize for the shortened episode, but we will be back next week with a full episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And I'll talk to you then. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse that are running off my feet. I got a bad mustache, a reoccurring rash, and not a lot of cash.